We are living in the end times. The church has to understand the times and know what to do. The Bible contains prophecy about current and future events. Join Reverend I.T. Matura as he does an exposition of the book of Revelations.
Greetings, saints. Welcome to an exposition of the book of Revelation with Reverend I.T. Matura. We are continuing as we study and learn from the book of Revelation. Today we are on lesson number 12. Looking at chapter 11, which I've titled The Two Witnesses and the Seventh Trumpet. Yesterday we ended as we looked at chapter 10, where we saw the mighty angel who had a little book, and we had lessons on the ministry of angels and the power of books that God sends to us to shift levels and to change dimensions in our lives and ministry. And I hope you are blessed and you learned one or two things from that lesson. Today we continue now as we move to chapter 11. I'll do an overview of the chapter, then we are going to look at the lessons that we draw out of this chapter. Now, verse 1 to 2, John is given a measuring rod and is told by the angel to measure the temple of God. The temple, remember, in the Old Testament, Solomon built the temple of God, but there's another temple that is in heaven. So that one was a shadow of the temple in heaven, and he's told to measure the altar and those that worship therein. So he goes and he measures the temple, the altar, and those that worship there. But he's then instructed to leave out the court. The court was almost the courtyard. It has been given to the Gentiles, and they are to tread upon the holy city for 42 months. And now 42 months is 3.5 years. Tribulation is going to last 7 years. For the first 3.5 years, the court is given to the Gentiles to still be entering into the court of the temple. But after 3.5 years, certain things are going to change. Now, verse 3 to 6, the two witnesses appear that are given power to prophesy for 1,260 days. Now, these two witnesses were clothed in sackcloth. 1,260 days is also approximately 3 years and 6 months around there. So it's 3.5 years they are to prophesy, and they are wearing sackcloth. They are described in the Bible as two olive trees and two lampstands. Now, this description, you will see it again in scripture when you read Zechariah chapter 4. You see there the Bible talking of the two anointed ones that stand beside the Lord, and it talks of two olive trees. Now we come to the book of Revelation, we see again two olive trees, and you'd understand olive is where the anointing oil was made from, and these were standing before the Lord. If anyone tries to harm them, fire would proceed out of their mouth and they would devour their enemies. So they were protected divinely. So whoever tried to attack them, they would be devoured by fire. Now, they will have power to shut the heaven that it will not rain during the days that they prophesy. So that's 3.5 years of their prophesying, the heavens will be shut. And also power to turn water into blood and to strike the earth with various plagues that they are going to strike the earth with. These are the two witnesses that are going to be ministering in the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Now, when we move on, we go to verse 7 to verse 10. We see there the two witnesses then complete their testimony, and the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit. You remember the bottomless pit where Satan, Lucifer, was cast down, and he was given keys and opened there, and we heard of the king of the bottomless pit. But we hear here now a beast that comes out of the demonic world, and he makes war against the two witnesses, and he overcomes them and he kills them. Then their bodies are left lying in the streets of Jerusalem, and everyone sees them. And for 3.5 days they are lying in the street. And the people that are on earth during that time begin to send each other gifts and celebrate the death of this prophet. They say the prophets that have caused us great trouble now are dead. They were causing plagues, and they are celebrating on earth. You can imagine the scenario. People are parting because the servant of God has died and has been killed. But verse 11 to 14 then shows that after 3.5 days, something happens. These two witnesses, the breath of God enters them and they stand on their feet. And those that have been celebrating are shocked at what is transpired, and great fear comes upon the people on the face of the earth. They then hear a voice call, a loud voice from heaven, calling them and saying, come up here. They ascend to heaven in a cloud while their enemies are watching. What a scenario. There was an earthquake at that moment, and a tenth of the city of Jerusalem fell. 7,000 people died, and the rest gave glory to God. 7 is a significant number in the Bible. 7,000 died in the city of Jerusalem at the moment of the earthquake as these two witnesses were going up. Verse 15 to 18, the seventh angel then sounded. So you see, we have been in a period of an interlude where we see a mighty angel in chapter 10. Then we see the two witnesses. Now, this is a prophetic book, and you need to understand that when the witnesses are witnessing, they witness for 3.5 years, the occurrences of the witnesses are simultaneous with the occurrences of the seven seals and the first six trumpets. So those things are happening in the heavenly, being released by angels, but on earth here there are two prophets that are prophesying simultaneously, but because they are recorded differently, one chapter after the other, sometimes you are confused to think that this is a different thing. But after this interlude, then the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and they were heard loud voices in heaven, and following the loud voices there were lightnings and thunders that come out of that. Verse 15 says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world, kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Verse 16, and the 24 elders which sat before God on their thrones fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying in verse 17, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, was, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Verse 18, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Yes, what a scenario. So after the trumpet is sounded, they heard a voice, many voices, great voices, and the Bible says the 24 elders fall down and they begin to worship, and that is what they said, and they begin to worship, and even prophetic worship, to say that even now is the time for God to judge those that rose up against God, but also to reward his prophets, the seven, and also his saints. And they are worshiping, and it is a prophetic worship in heaven. Now we see verse 19, the last verse of that chapter. Then John saw the temple of God in heaven open, and he saw the Ark of the Covenant. Now, we last hear about the Ark of the Covenant sometime in the Old Testament. You remember that when Jesus died, the veil was torn into two. It was rent from top to bottom. So the veil was what separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place, and only the high priest entered there once a year. But when the veil was torn into two, showing that the blood of Jesus has now given us access into the holy place, into the manifest presence of God, the Bible says now by the blood we can enter before the throne of God. Now we see in heaven that even in heaven, the temple opens and the ark of God. There's been always debate where the ark went, the physical ark, but we are not worried about the physical ark, because the real ark is in heaven, because the one that was on earth was a shadow of that which was in heaven, but also it was a type of Christ, who is the real ark of God, the carrier of the presence of God. And it is seen in heaven. And the Bible says there was lightning, noises, thundering, and an earthquake and great hail on earth. This is the seventh trumpet. Opens the heavens, and there are sounds, noises, thundering, earthquakes, and there is hail that comes on earth. Now, there are seven lessons that we can draw out of this chapter, chapter number 11. And we want to look at those seven lessons, and I believe they will be a blessing to your life. Lesson number one is that the time of Israel has been measured. And I've already spoken about this, that there's a set time that was given to Israel. This is represented by the rod that was given to John to measure the temple, because the temple speaks of Israel. One of the things, the calendar of God for the end time is on Israel. If you want to watch the end time calendar and timing of God, you must watch what is happening in Israel, because that is the calendar of the end time. The restoration of that temple and the restoration of sacrifice in that temple will mark a significant thing in the end time. So you see that John is given a measuring rod. He measures the temple, he measures the ark, then the altar, and he measures the people that are worshiping inside of it. Very important. And that represents Israel and the nation of Israel. So there is a time calendar for God that he has set, and that's the clock of the end times. When you watch Israel and what is happening in Israel, it signifies the calendar and the times of God in the end times. Number two, God will raise two anointed witnesses to minister during the tribulation. Now, you saw that during the tribulation, we have the 144,000 remnant of Israel that is set apart and sealed by God. But then there are these two prophets that arise, that God anoints to minister during this time of tribulation. When you look at these men, they resemble Elijah and Moses, because the things that they do, the Bible says they were dressed in sackcloth. They had weird clothing, the same as Elijah used to dress, the same as John used to dress. And you see the things that they did, that these guys carry the anointing or the spirit of Moses and Elijah. But out of the two, these are among the three that we know in scripture that did not die. Moses was not buried. There's no grave for Moses. And we know that Elijah went straight up to heaven. He did not die. The other guy is Enoch, but we don't know much about the ministry of Enoch. But the ministry of Moses and the ministry of Elijah, we know. And you hear the Bible saying, Malachi, as he prophesies, he says, in the last days, you send someone in the spirit of Elijah. And verse 6 says, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. You see, so it's very important you understand. Now, verse 4 says, remember the law of Moses, my servant, that's verse 4, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. And verse 5 of Malachi chapter 4 says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Now, this prophecy was fulfilled in part when John Baptist came, because he turned the hearts of the fathers to the children. But the second part of turning the hearts of the children to the fathers was not fulfilled. So there is someone still to come before the second coming of Christ to prepare the way again for his second coming. So we see that these two witnesses here resemble Moses and Elijah. Number three, the heavens are linked to earth by God working through his servants. So you see that the heavens, things that happen in the heavens, have a link to what also transpires on earth. This is why at one point Jesus says to Peter, I give you the keys of the kingdom of God. or the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in the heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in the heaven. At one point, the scripture says again, Matthew chapter 18, that whatever two or three agree in prayer here on earth, it is agreed in the heaven. So you see that during this time, when these two servants are ministering, whatever they declare prophetically here on earth, it affects what happens in the realm of the spirit, and it affects the angels that are in the realm of the spirit, and the angels that will release plagues, that will release and blow trumpets, are linked to these two witnesses. So there is a link between the servant of God and what transpires on earth and what transpires in the heaven. Now, these two prophets had the power to call plagues. Yeah, plagues. Now, and the plagues are similar to what Moses and Elijah did. The Bible says when someone tried to attack them, fire would come and devour them. Now, you remember Elijah in the book of Kings, there's a point that men were sent to kill him. And you just say, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume me. This is the same thing. These are prophets ministering under an Old Testament kind of grace and anointing, where there is no grace now, where punishment and judgment can come immediately on you. You remember the sons of thunder, John and James, at one point when people refused to repent, they said, can we ask that fire may come and consume? And Jesus said, what manner of spirit do you have? Because that was a different dispensation of grace. But this time, when you rose against these two witnesses, fire would consume you. And it says they could turn water into blood. You remember Moses turned water into blood into Egypt. And they shut up the heaven for 3.5 years. You remember it was Elijah who says, it shall not rain until I say so at my word. And for 3.5 years, there was a drought. The same thing takes place during this time. Number four, our time of effective ministry is measured and limited. These two prophets are told you shall minister for 1,260 days. Now, I want you to know that you also, your time to minister and to serve God is limited. Don't think that you will limitlessly minister unto God. There is a day that your ministry will be cut off. There are people who came in generations before us that ministered and they've left. They've left the baton stick for us. You must rise up and minister, because there will come a time where you are not able to minister, where you are not able to serve. The Bible says, minister while it is day, before night comes, wake while it is day. For when night comes, no one can wake. It's very important. So a night season can come into your life, and death can be a night season where you can no longer wake. So you must understand that your ministry is a time lag, and you must do your best in the time that has been set for you. Number five, the devil's main agenda is to destroy God's servant. Now the Bible says, and there came out a beast out of the bottomless pit, and he made war against those, the two witnesses, and he overcame. Now, the devil is always looking to destroy God's servants. Even today, he's looking to destroy the servants of God who are ministering his gospel and who are serving in the house and preaching the kingdom and the good news of Christ. Now, you should understand that, Mzalwa, never join the devil to destroy God's servants. Pastors, teachers, whatever ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists that are serving God genuinely, never join those that are speaking against the servants of God. Don't do that. You are serving the devil's agenda, because the devil's agenda is to destroy. And the Bible says when he had killed them and their bodies were lying on the ground, the earth was celebrating. Never join the celebration of the fall of a man of God or the destruction of a man of God. Never have such kind of a spirit. The Bible says the earth was sending gifts and having parties. That's the nature of the world. But you never be used in such a manner to join that. It is not of God. It is of the devil. Lesson number six. God protects his servants and his people. Only what he allows will happen to them. Now you see that these two witnesses were protected by God. They had divine protection. Nothing happened to them until God allowed them to be overcome. I want you to know that in your life, no matter what you do, nothing that the enemy fashions against your life will prosper. It is only that which God allows. That is why the devil had even to come and ask for permission to attack Job and his family. And God had to only give him permission for him to touch. He says, touch this, but don't touch this. Don't touch his soul. Don't, because we are surrounded. There is a hedge that surrounds us. As the servants and children of God, we are surrounded and we are protected. The last lesson, the kingdom of God will take over the kingdoms of this world. Now, when the seventh trumpet was blown, you hear a shout that was made from heaven. And it says, the voices say, the kingdoms of this world, verse 15, have become the kingdoms of our God. I want you to know, Mzalwan, that these kingdoms of this world, you might know many different, they are all coming to nothing. The prophecy of Daniel, where of Nebuchadnezzar, where he saw a golden image that had gold of the head, had a silver chest, had a bronze stomach, had iron legs, had iron and clay feet. And then he saw a stone carved out, not by a man's hand, that came and hit that statue. And it was crushed into dust, and the stone began to grow and became a mighty mountain, to show that the kingdom of God shall take over the kingdom and empires of this world. No matter how mighty they are today, they shall all crumble. I challenge you to invest your time in the kingdom of God, not in the kingdoms of this world that are coming to nothing. Invest your time, your strength, your might, your intelligence, your abilities in the kingdom of God to serve God, because it is the true investment that will retain rewards even in eternity. Why? Because the kingdom of God will take over the kingdoms of this world, and Christ will reign upon the kingdoms of this world, and he shall take authority from all other kings, and he is the King of kings, in Jesus' mighty name. I want you to pray with me as we end today. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless your name. Thank you for revelation and insight that comes from your word, Father, as we study and as we learn. Father, as we see that God, even in a time of great crisis and difficulty as we are in now, you still have your servants that you set apart, that you call and you send out to minister with the word in season, to preach the word and the good news. And Father, I pray that God, your servants, men and women that serve you, may you protect them, may you watch over them. Pastors that labor in the gospel, men and women, saints that labor to serve in the house of God, in worship, in ushering, in different ministries in the house of God, may you remember them, God. May you give us wisdom to understand that our time is limited, that we may maximize to serve you according to the divine purpose and calling that is upon our lives, Father, and we may do it and do it diligently. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that the kingdom of God shall take over the kingdoms of this world, and that God, Christ, shall reign, for he is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's continue tomorrow as we move on now to chapter number 12. And I believe the Lord will do us well. Read that chapter and we'll come through with another lesson tomorrow. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. For more of these teachings, send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 355 0334.